depending on the evening, every once in a while.
And so you know, I mean, in oh, I think this is. Am I calling in? Let me call him. A big aloha, welcome.
Hello. I'm sorry. I must be a couple of minutes late.
But I'm glad you remembered to call. I am very excited to have Brent Harvey on the phone. He's the executive producer of the Hollywood Music and Media Awards. And welcome. I've got Gretchen Rhodes in the studios here. We just were listening to her lovely voice.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I am just, you know, I've been doing a little homework and doing some research. And Brent, I have to say, the HMMA.
Oh, no.
It's happening.
Tell me you didn't dig up the. Wait,
it's that one thing.
Tell me. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No. I mean, we talked, and you have a radio background, obviously, as well, which I loved, you know. Because that's my roots, obviously, in Hollywood. And you go back to early days.
Yeah,
and, yeah, I worked at K-Rock and all those places. But I was spoiled.
Yeah, no, we I'm sure we know some of the same usual suspects.
Absolutely. But you know, HMMA for me, because I was born in the Hollywood Hills. I was born up there above Sunset Doheny. You know where that is, up there in the hills?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do.
Yeah.
Right above where all the action used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of below Blue Jay Way, but up there a few blocks, you know, kind of that.
Ah, yeah. Well, George stayed there, and that's where that song came from.
Absolutely. Now, how did you begin? You have obviously deep ties in the music business, and HMMA stands for Hollywood Music Media Awards. Explain why and where and how Hollywood Music and Media Awards began.
Okay. Well, back around 2008, I was pretty busy with music licensing. That's part of the business, as you know. Finding ways to get music into film, television, video games, and all sorts of commercials and whatnot. And my ex-partner came to me and said, "Hey, Brent, would you, you know, like to help me produce an award show?" And I said, "Okay, what kind?" And he said, "Independent music." And I kind of shook my head, rolled my eyes, and I went, "Oh my God, not another one." The reason was I had that reaction was because there were so many independent music awards out there that were being conducted by, oh, let's say, in a nice way, less than scrupulous means. And it really didn't do anything for the music artists, except give them bragging rights, maybe a little bit, on, you know, for whatever music awards that they won an award or were nominated for. Anyway, I told him, I said, "Listen, I have this idea rolling around in my head. There is no award show out there that actually recognizes specifically the music of visual mediums, meaning film, television, video games, commercial advertisements, independent films, documentaries, and so on. And this is how music was being consumed and promoted and exposed to the masses, because the old record label and record stores and radio, you know, all the traditional means of getting music were going by the wayside. And you know, the way that you would find out new music would, you know, go to the movies, and you'd hear this great song on the end credits
for example. I mean,
anyway,
one of the biggest songs that we know from Hawaii, of course, was Brother Is, What a Wonderful World. And although we knew it here, it wasn't until it was in the movies that it really went worldwide.
It exploded after
it was in the movies.
Exactly. And at the time, there was no award show that actually recognized the not only the songs, but the score, you know. The Golden Globes and the Oscars have one or two categories for music. And up until 2009, coincidentally, the Grammys just added the category of best music for a visual medium. Now, is that coincidence? A year after we started our thing, maybe. But you know, the way I see it is, you know, the best form of flattery is, you know,
imitation.
It's copying.
You had a banner year. I mean, last year was an example, because you had the people. I mean, what a year! La La Land, you know, and You had all of that going on. There was all these great movies with great music, and a lot of those people were right there at the awards ceremony last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we started this thing in 2009, and it was a grassroots kind of a show. You know, we didn't have huge backing from any one particular source or studio or network or anything like that. And we grew it organically, and through the last 8 years, we've created this pattern, so to speak, of being the barometer of the big awards seasons for music. And as you alluded to, one example was City of Stars in the movie La La Land. And because our award show is positioned in November, months before the big award shows, we were the first to recognize and award that song. And as you know, it went on to win the Golden Globe and the Oscar and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for the score of films and television and video games. We're kind of the leaders of that pack. Also, back in 2009, we were the first award show to actually have categories for outstanding music supervision.
Mm-hmm.
For the music supervisors, which I personally knew how hard they worked and how integral their job was,
mm-hmm.
You know, working in film and television and video games. So we had those award categories, and coincidentally enough, again, this year, the Emmys, for the first time, have a category for outstanding music supervision. So it's nice to see that the big award shows actually follow our lead.
Yes.
Many times in not only categories but their selections of nominees and winners. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, it's a good nutshell, and I like that nutshell very much because I kind of fit into that nutshell.
Let me get back to when I first started answering this question of somebody wanting me to produce an award show about indie music. And my thought at that time was it really didn't do anything unless it was attached to something that would make sense. So that's why I came up with the Hollywood Music and Media Awards that we, for lack of a better term, we would recognize the big guns as far as composers and music artists in the film and TV and video game and commercials and documentaries and things like that, and involving the music supervisors and all of that. So having all of those people and all the networks and studios and all the workings of the entertainment machine that is Hollywood, I would have the music genre categories that are part of the music awards, and those are for the independent music artists. And the idea here is to expose independent music artists from around the world, because we are a worldwide event. We have artists and music representing 100, and I think the last count, 112 countries or something.
Wow.
Crazy like that. So the music awards, I thought of the music awards actually being an opportunity disguised as an award show.
I like
that. For the independent music artists. And a nice little story that I like to say, tell people about. As a perfect example, one year we had Andy Fickman, the award-winning director, producer, and writer. He's done tons of films and TV shows and whatnot. He was one of our award presenters. And his presentation time was right after this performance, because during the award show we have 6 live performances. And Lauren Silva, this independent music artist, did her nominated song, and brought down the house, and the crowd went crazy. Andy Fickman went up there for his presentation. And as a director, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I'm here."
Mm.
And he pointed at the stage and said, "That song that Laura Silva just sang, I'm going to find a way to put it in my movie or television show
wow.
this year."
You know, that's,
and he said that, and he proclaimed that in front of the entire audience. And as it turns out, I set up a meeting with him, with Laura, and they've gone on to work together. So that's an example of an opportunity that was birthed from the HMMAs. And that's why I have the independent music artists involved and seated right next to the big guns.
Thank you. And, you know, so having
it's a very unique situation.
It is. And having started in radio way back when in Hollywood, it was all free format in the radio. Everything was independent ourselves before the big corporations took over the record companies, of course. And then when they did, things changed, of course, and then the Grammys and all that stuff. So independent artists really have taken years to develop their skills and their chops and being able to now get out there. But this is a fantastic way for people who are independent artists to meet, greet, network, and be seen and have a chance to be exposed to some wonderful things, including your panel, which you have. I just found out today there's a panel. That, the actual awards are November, let's see, on
16th,
and you have a panel on Wednesday, the day before, correct?
Yes.
Which is wonderful, because it's going to be about what do you do? You have a great song, and what do you do with it, right?
Right. That panel is something that we traditionally do during what we call the HMMA week, because we do have people come in from all over the world for the awards, and we want to make sure that they have more than just the pomp and circumstance of the awards to enjoy and find value in making that trip. Mm-hmm. To Los Angeles. So we have a panel the day before, usually a showcase right after the panel. Then we have the award show on Thursday, and then on Friday night we have what's called Mimi Pro, which is the music and media professional mixer. And it's at our partner hotel, which this year is the Everly Hotel. And that's kind of a decompression kind of mixer type thing where everybody just kind of comes and hangs out, and there's no, you know, pressure about the awards. It's all over with, so everybody gets to sit there and network, and we have some acoustic performances and things like that. So we have a full week of things for people to do when they're in Los Angeles making the trip for the awards.
Well, I'm going to be doing it. I'm staying at the Roosevelt because everyone told me. I grew up. My father was an architect, and he actually maybe worked on that when he worked in the St. John's Hospital, a lot of hotels and different places. So the Roosevelt, I've never stayed at before. I'm going to stay there, but I am looking forward to a full week, and I'm meeting people there who I've never met before. I've seen them on Facebook and everything, but we're gathering, literally gathering.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to cut you off, but this is one thing that drives me crazy. Everybody thinks that we're so connected by the Internet, and we are. We are connected in a superficial form.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that can replace the meeting in the face-to-face, putting a face to a name, shaking somebody's hand, and interacting with that person.
Yep.
That
totally.
Part of networking, yes, you can network all day long on the Internet, and, you know, there's only a certain amount of value to it.
Need to catch a vibe of a person.
The real value is making connections personally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's why we have a real award show. That's why we have a mixer. That's why we have these things called the Noise Society, which is once a month. And people actually come and meet real people. And when I say real people, I mean the producers and the composers and the music artists and the management and the studio heads and all these people that you see their names on company contact lists, but there's no way in hell you're going to get a hold of them, right?
Yep, that's true.
But if you come to an HMMA event, whether it's a mixer or an award show or something else, you're actually going to meet the studio head or the music director of Disney or whoever that is, you know, that you would not otherwise have the opportunity to meet and actually get to know and mingle and, you know, crack up with and, you know, create a relationship.
Exactly.
When I say relationship, I mean a real relationship. I'm not talking about a Facebook like or a follower on Instagram. Those are all well and fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to actually, you know, providing real value, you can't beat the personal connections.
I couldn't agree
all right.
more.
I'm off my soapbox.
No, and that's why I'm excited. I'm meeting people I've actually who've been on my CDs before, and I've never met them face to face, and I'm going to meet them there. So
I know it's crazy, right?
It is, and that's Gretchen and I even here. So I mean, I have another guest coming in shortly, but I do want people to know that this is an amazing opportunity. People still can get tickets. There are tickets still available to the general public. Is that correct?
We do make tickets, a limited amount of tickets available to the general public, and then the rest of the seats and the banquet and all that kind of stuff is relegated to the networks and studios and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, yes, this is a public event, and while the tickets last, yes.
This is how do people go about finding out more about HMMA and grabbing those few tickets that are exclusively available? I have to say, too, having done the Grammys and a lot of other things, you know, you kind of get sticker shock, but your prices are really affordable, too. I have to say, I'm pretty impressed by the prices you offer.
No, you know, and that's the other thing. You know, I'm constantly being told by people, oh, my God, you know, you're dealing with networks and studios and all this stuff. Your table should be $10,000 and all this. I'm going, no. Then you're going to price out the people that are coming from Hoboken or whatever, you know, the independent music artists, because they should have the same opportunity to sit at the same table as everybody else. So we've kept our prices extremely affordable, and maybe that's why I don't have my house on the hill yet, but that's okay with me.
Well, I think you're doing an amazing, perfect, amazing service, and truthfully, I was just so excited. I'd heard about you through a lot of my friends on Facebook and some of the people, and I saw how excited they were, and I've seen pictures like last year, and then I finally went, wow, okay, I'm gonna give this a try, and I was shocked that actually I got a song nominated, and it's like, wow, Gretchen did it, and so you know, here I am going.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a big deal.
You know, I try to keep up with everything, but obviously I can't. That's why, you know, we have a selections committee that does, you know, that reviews and does and makes selections and things like that. That you know, obviously I can't keep up on every single one, but congratulations.
Well, thank you, and it means a lot to me. And I have to say, I was impressed by your board and your sponsors that you have and the people who are involved. I mean, if you look at the list of people from, I mean, there's a lot of great people you've gotten involved in this.
Oh yeah. We're very blessed, and we don't sit there and you know, necessarily shake our pom-poms to the world about it, but when people start to really become interested and want to know things, then they start to find out more and more and more. So, you know, there's a reason why the Hollywood Reporter calls us the best indicator of the nominees and winners of the Oscars and Golden Globes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's big. And on your board, is it Adam Gaynor, Dave Mason?
Oh, Adam Gaynor, Verdeen White from Earth, Wind & Fire, Dave Mason. The list goes on.
Yeah. So, I mean, people don't know. I've put on a lot of events in the past, and people don't realize the amount of work that goes into something like this. This year, it's going to be at which theater again?
The Avalon.
Which is a lovely old historic theater, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But they've put in almost $3 million of upgrades over the last 2.5 years. So it's quite impressive, and I'm thrilled to be there. I was happy with the Fonda Theater for 3 years that we were there, but we've kind of grown out of it, and now it's time for the Avalon. So
I noticed in your pictures you had a picture of Jane there, I think, last year. And, you know, I house sat for Henry and Shirley Fonda, and Jane would come over. That was years ago when I was in L.A. I house sat for them for 3 years. And, of course, they were really excited. I remember how excited Shirley was when the Fonda Theater got named the Fonda Theater,
yeah,
and everything.
You know,
so.
You know, Jane actually came because Richard came, her boyfriend, you know, the producer. And and she said, yeah, this sounds great. I'll support. And she had a great time. And And actually, Adam, because you mentioned Adam Gaynor from Matchbox 20, he was doing some hosting, and he really had fun with Jane, and they had some glasses of wine, and the rest is history, which I won't go into. But
Okay. See, when I grew up in Hollywood, I have to tell you, it was a long time ago, and things kind of have changed, but then they stay the same. You know how that is, right? And I get back into Hollywood, and I look at I'm going, gosh, you know, there's like a revitalization going on. And, of course, some of the prices have gone up in the hotels. When I heard the parking for the Roosevelt was $50 a night, I think, yeah, things have changed in Hollywood. It's like,
oh, wow. Wow. Well, you know, that's why I do hotel partners, is because I want to make sure that the best price, you know, that you cannot get anywhere else in Hollywood is only gotten through the HMMA special discounts. So that's why the Everly Hotel, which is the newest hotel in Hollywood and only a block and a half from the Avalon, we have a 20% discount on our group room rates there.
Oh, wonderful to know.
And parking per day is 20 instead of 50.
Wow, wonderful. Well, you know what? I have to say, you know, having grown up in Hollywood and seeing it from that angle, it's nice to know that there's someone who's really real. I mean, it was really, it gets a little cynical growing up in Hollywood and Beverly Hills. You get a little bit, you know. I left, you know, because after a while I was like, you know, and I know Gretchen Rudd's here left too.
I did.
But it's so nice to hear someone who's really there caring and putting on events like this. So it's kind of fun to go back and see the chance to network and meet people like you and others who are doing events like this and furthering. I mean, my biggest, my heart just kind of loves the fact that you support the indie community because it's so important, and it is where the lifeblood and where the creativity and where the energy of all this great new music is coming from. And I don't know if you have a chance to really hear all the wonderful excitement in the indie community about this, but there's certainly a lot of people who are so thrilled that you're doing something like this.
One of my favorite sayings, and I have this on a quote on, I think, one of my business sites, is the biggest stars I've ever worked with are the ones you've never heard of.
That's a good one. I'll remember that one. Okay.
Okay, you can use it.
Well, and they don't have a star on Hollywood Boulevard either.
No, but they're great, and I love independent music. So, thank you so much
for letting me
come on your radio show.
I am just thrilled that you could make it.
I'm happy to be of service whenever I can. So feel free to reach out to me whenever you can.
I will, definitely. And I look forward to meeting you in a couple months, November. Well, I'll get in around 13th. And I'm glad I have the whole week because there's a lot going on there. And thank you so much for taking the time to call. And keep that good energy going, okay?
All right. See ya. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Oh, that was fun. I love that. I love that positive energy that he has.